ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Last time I was here, I read one verse, two verses from Bhagavad Gita, and then read the purport. So we spoke from it a little bit, but we didn't read the purport and go through some of the details of the purport. So I'm just going to continue on this same verse from the last time I was here. A little bit imbalanced. Anyone here for the first time? Welcome. Hopefully we'll pass up other things. This is chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute. Texts 4 and 5. Repeat after me. Buddhir.
Buddhir.
10th, chapter 10, text 4 and 5. Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Asamaha.
Asamaha.
It's page 508. I think. Maybe if this is the same.
423.
Oh, different book. Okay. 423. Asamoha,
Asamoha,
Kshama,
Kshama,
Satyam,
Satyam,
Dhamma,
Dhamma,
Shama,
Shama,
Sukham,
Sukham,
Dukham,
Dukham,
Bhavo,
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 Bhayam,
Bhayam,
Chabhayam,
Chabhayam,
Eva,
Eva,
Cha,
Cha,
Ahimsa,
Ahimsa,
Samatha,
Samatha,
Tushtis,
Tushtis,
Tapo,
Tapo,
Danam,
Danam,
Yasho,
Yasho,
Yasha,
Yasha,
Bhavanti,
Bhavanti,
Bhava,
Bhava,
Bhutanam,
Bhutanam,
Mata,
Mata,
Eva,
Eva,
Prita,
Prita,
Vidha,
Vidha,
Buddhir Jnanam Asamoha,
Buddhir Jnanam Asamoha,
Kshama Satyam Dhamma Sama,
Kshama Satyam Dhamma Sama,
Sukham Dukham Bhavo Bhavo,
Sukham Dukham Bhavo Bhavo,
Bhayam Cha Bhayam Eva Cha,
Bhayam Cha Bhayam Eva Cha,
Ahimsa Samatha Tushtis,
Ahimsa Samatha Tushtis,
Tapo Danam Yasho Yasha,
Tapo Danam Yasho Yasha,
Bhavanti Bhava Bhutanam,
Bhavanti Bhava Bhutanam,
Mata Eva Pritak Vidha,
Mata Eva Pritak Vidha,
Buddhir Jnanam Asamoha,
Buddhir Jnanam Asamoha,
Kshama Satyam Dhamma Shama,
Kshama Satyam Dhamma Shama,
Sukham Dukham Bhavo Bhavo,
Sukham Dukham Bhavo Bhavo,
अयम् च अयमेव च
अयम् च अयमेव च
अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः
अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः
तपो दानं यशो यश
तपो दानं यशो यश
भवन्ति भावभूतानां
भवन्ति भावभूतानां
मत एव पृथग्विधा
मत एव पृथग्विधा
बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असमोह
बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असमोह
क्षमा सत्यं तमः क्षमा
क्षमा सत्यं तमः क्षमा
सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो
सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो
भयं च भयमेव च
अहिंसा
समता तुष्टिः
अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः
तपो दानं यशो यश
तपो दानं यशो यश
भवन्ति भवभूतानां
भवन्ति भवभूतानां
मत एव पृथग्विधा
मत एव पृथग्विधा
बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह
बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह
क्षमा सत्यं तमः क्षमा
क्षमा सत्यं तमः क्षमा
सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो
सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो
वयं च वयमेव च
वयं च वयमेव च
अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः
अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः
तपो दानं यशो यश
तपो दानं यशो यश
भवन्ति भावभूतानां
भवन्ति भावभूतानां
मत एव पृथग्विधा
मत एव पृथग्विधा
बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह
बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह क्षमा सत्यं तमः क्षमा
सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो
सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो
वयं च
वयमेव च
अहिंसा
समता तुष्टिः तपो दानं यशो यश भवन्ति भावभूतानां मत एव पृथग्विधा बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह
क्षमा सत्यं तमः
क्षमा सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो वयं च वयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपो दानं यशो यश भवन्ति भवभूतानां बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह क्षमा सत्यं तमः क्षमा सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो
वयं च
वयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपो दानं यशो यश भवन्ति भावभूतानां मत एव पृथग्विधा बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह
क्षमा सत्यं
तमः क्षमा सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो
वयं च
वयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपो दानं यशो यश भवन्ति भावभूतानां
मत एव पृथग्विधा
मत एव पृथग्विधा बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह क्षमा सत्यं तमः क्षमा सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो
वयं च
वयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपो दानं यशो यश भवन्ति भावभूतानां मत एव पृथग्विधा
बुद्धि
इंटेलिजेंस
ज्ञानम्
ज्ञानम्
knowledge असम्मोह
असम्मोह
freedom from doubt क्षमा
क्षमा
forgiveness
forgiveness
सत्यम्
सत्यम्
Truthfulness.
Truthfulness.
Dhamma.
Dhamma.
Control of the senses.
Control of the senses.
Shama.
Shama.
Control of the mind.
Control of the mind.
Sukham.
Sukham.
Happiness.
Happiness.
Dukham.
Dukham.
Distress.
Distress.
Bhava.
Bhava.
Birth.
Birth.
Abhava.
Abhava.
Death.
Death.
Bhayam.
Bhayam.
Fear.
Fear.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Abhayam.
Abhayam.
Fearlessness.
Fearlessness.
Eva.
Eva.
Also.
Also.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Ahimsa.
Ahimsa.
Non-violence.
Non-violence.
Samatha.
Samatha.
Equilibrium.
Equilibrium.
Tushti.
Tushti.
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction.
Tapa.
Tapa.
Penance.
Penance.
Dhanam.
Dhanam.
Charity.
Charity.
Yasha.
Yasha.
Fame.
Fame.
Ayasha.
Ayasha.
Infamy.
Infamy.
Bhavanti.
Bhavanti.
Come about.
Come about.
Bhava.
Bhava.
Natures.
Natures.
Bhutanam.
Bhutanam.
Of living entities.
Of living entities.
Mata.
Mata.
From me.
From me.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Pritakvida.
Pritakvida.
Variously arranged.
Variously arranged.
Translation. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, nonviolence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy. All these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Purport. The different qualities of living entities, be they good or bad, are all created by Krishna, and they are described here. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective, and knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Ordinary knowledge obtained by a university education pertains only to matter, and it is not accepted here as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs. Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete. Stop here for now and continue shortly. Om Agnanata Manandasya Vinajana Savakaya Chakshu Vandana Tamina Tasma Shiva Maha Mukham Guru Tivachala Mandaya Tegani Nakipatamaham Vaneshi Vandana Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Samaniti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Kachalini Nirvishesha Shanyavari Vasta Chate Sitarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Good to be back in heart. I haven't been away so long. But I'm going to have to get used, and you'll have to get used. This is my first class for a while, just English. So I just arrived from Ukraine just the night before last. I'm a little jet lagged. But I'll try my best to say something relevant. The last time we spoke from these verses, we mainly just covered the point that Srila Prabhupada has explained in the very first sentence. Can you hear? Volume difficult. Now it's better. Okay. We mainly elaborated on the point how everything ultimately, all qualities, whether you're good or bad, they're coming from Krishna. And, of course, we explained, essentially, the last time how ultimately everything is coming from Krishna. And we explained that what we perceive as bad is simply due to our forgetfulness of Krishna, because Krishna is ultimately good. We gave the example that Prabhupada gave, that as long as you're facing the sun, everything is bright. But when you turn your back to the sun, you can see your shadow. But between yourself and the sun, there's no shadow. You have to turn your back to see your shadow. So in the same way, when we're facing Krishna, because Krishna is all good, absolute, he is all good. And by being fully conscious of him, we see everything in the right perspective. But when we turn away from Krishna, then we see evil, we see bad. Of course, there's so much bad. We look at this world, and sometimes people look at this, but there's so much bad in this world, how can we accept that this is ultimately good? Well, we have to understand the whole purpose of this cosmic manifestation to understand what the simple analogy that is given in this connection, that when you place your hand in fire, you feel pain. But that's good. If you didn't feel pain, you'd lose your whole hand, it would burn. But because you feel pain, you take your hand out. So in the same way, if we understand within the proper perspective that this material world is temporary, and Krishna himself is described as dukkhalyam, shashvatam, temporary and full of miseries. If Krishna has described it as such, and if Krishna is the origin of it, then ultimately we understand there must be a purpose. Purpose is ultimately is a place for the living entities to learn that their real natural state of being is in Krishna consciousness. Their real natural state of being is not in this world. And Srila Prabhupada expended so much energy trying to help us understand this point during his manifest presence of the futility of trying to become fully happy in this world, because it's all artificial happiness that's available in this world. That the real happiness that the living entity is meant to experience is happiness by understanding his eternal relationship with Krishna. And when Krishna gives that happiness to the living being, the living entity gets a taste of that happiness and understands by experiencing that happiness, even a small taste, a small glimpse of the temporary pleasures of trivial will in this world. And therefore an intelligent person, that persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined, they do not endeavor for these pleasures which are available from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patalaloka, because they know that as far as happiness which is derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it comes automatically in due course of time, just as in due course of time misery comes without asking for it. I always like to quote this verse. People can relate to it. Because the verse gives a very simple concept that nobody strives for misery, but it comes. Nobody wakes up in the morning and makes a plan how I'll be miserable today. We don't have to make plans for it. It comes. As we said, already certified by Krishna, dukkhalyam shashvatam. Material world is temporary and it's full of miseries. So both the miseries and the pleasures that come have the beginning and end, and the miseries, although sometimes we may, especially when we're in the midst of those miseries, we may think they're never ending and there's no termination to them, but they're also temporary too. That our natural state is to be happy. But persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined Bhagavatam states that an intelligent person, one of the qualities, first quality here, intelligence. What is intelligence? Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. So persons who are intelligent, philosophically inclined, they have the ability to analyze things in a proper perspective. That is, they're able to see this world for what it is. They are able to discriminate. Prabhupada, when he gave a lecture on this verse, he spoke a little bit about this intelligence. I was going to read this also. He says that here in the material world, Krishna has declared already, Aham Adyahi Devanam Maharshinam Chasava. He is the original cause of everything. Now then, he must be the cause of all good qualification and bad qualification also. Whatever we see in this material world, we consider this is bad and this is good. We have divided that according to our calculation. But actually they are a varied manifestation of the qualities of Krishna. Here in the material world, those qualities, transcendental qualities, they are in Krishna and they are in living entities. Just like we have all these qualities. Take, for example, buddhi. Buddhi means intelligence. And what is that intelligence? Real intelligence? Real intelligence is to know, to understand, that Krishna is the Supreme, and I am part and parcel. It is stated here that intelligence means sukarta vivechana samadhyam. Suppose one is very intelligent to drive a car. That is material intelligence for earning our bread. Real intelligence is sukarta, for the finer sentiments, to understand the finer activities of this nature. This is called buddhi, to understand how things are happening. He says more about intelligence. Basically, he says, what is intelligence? What is real intelligence? It's to know that Krishna is supreme and I am part and parcel. This is real intelligence. And it's being able to discriminate that Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasava Bhutya, and all other living entities. If he is supreme, then that means, by definition, he means something, means everyone else is subordinate. Or as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna is Mayadish and the living entities are Mayavash. Ishvara Jivivete. Krishna is Mayadish, he is the controller of the Maya. And Mayavash means we are controlled. We are under the subject to the control. Prabhupada used the examples. That just as the sun is never covered by the clouds, although the sun creates the clouds, but the sun itself never becomes covered by the clouds. When our perspective of the sun, our vision of the sun, is covered, it covers our vision. But when we see when the clouds move away, there's no clouds covering the sun, but the clouds cover our vision. So in the same way, Maya, the material energy of Krishna, is covering our vision, enabling us to, for those who wish to forget him, to forget him. And for those who wish to remember him, then Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, that he acts within the heart to help them by gradually revealing himself to them by dint of their determination to think of him, to remember him, and to engage in rendering service to him. From within the heart, he gives them the understanding of which, he says, I give them the intelligence. Tishram Sakatam Yuktanam Bhajatam Hikti Purvaka Dadami Buddhi Yogam. Buddhi, the same word Buddhi. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upriyanti Te. He says, I give them the Buddhi. I give them the intelligence for which they come to me. So ultimately, everything is coming from Krishna. Intelligence for which one can go to him. And he also, Mattaksmiti Jnanam Apomanam Chan, as Krishna says also. I give one the ability to forget. For those who wish to forget, then this material world is a very wonderful place, providing so much facility. I was just telling recently in the last class I gave, who was it? Oh, was it Chernovtsi, okay? There was a group of newer people there, and I was telling them, it's Prabhupada's compassion, and telling them one story that one devotee had told me in the early days, where Prabhupada was feeling so much compassion because he was observing how this people have devised so many different ways to forget Krishna. And Prabhupada was once driving in the car in America with devotees, and he was observing something that he had never seen before. He saw these men standing on a golf course, and he saw them swinging the stick and hitting the ball. And Prabhupada asked the devotees, "What is this?" And the devotee said, "Well, Srila Prabhupada, this is called golf." And Prabhupada said, "Well, what are they doing?" And he said, the devotee said, they take a stick and they hit this ball, and they try, you can't see it, but off in the distance is a hole, and they're trying to put the ball in the hole." And Prabhupada turned and looked, and the devotees saw tears coming from his eyes. And Prabhupada turned to them and said, "They've done so many things to forget Krishna. Just to forget Krishna." It was his compassion. So that was one example. So many things in this world which are designed by, ultimately by the reach of the Lord, for those who wish to forget, then Krishna says, "I give them all facility. I give them all facility to forget that everything in this world is ultimately connected to the Lord. Everything ultimately is meant to be used in service to the Lord. And our purpose in life is ultimately to be able to remember Him." So Krishna says, "Desham satatam yutanam bhajatam pitikurvakam dittami buddhi yogam tam." Buddhi yoga means Krishna says, "I give them the understanding by which they can come to me." So if those who want to forget, Krishna gives the facility to forget. But those who wish to remember, then Krishna gives all facility to help them. Krishna gives them all facility to help them forget, Krishna gives them all facility to help them to remember. So it's a question of desire. So intelligence refers the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. And Prabhupada says that real intelligence is to understand that Krishna is supreme and I'm tiny. I'm simply, my perspective is that Krishna is, because Krishna is supreme, I am subordinate, and my constitutional position is therefore as his servant. And I always try to remind devotees or anyone that oftentimes when we hear this concept of service and servant, many times people become, when they hear it, sometimes it almost sounds like that it's like a demeaning position to be in. To be a servant, we consider the servant to be comparable to like a slave. What the speaker of Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says that abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. He says, abandon everything. Sarvadhamma prajaja homi sarvanam bhaja. Krishna wants us to surrender everything. So we can think of surrendering everything to Krishna, we think of becoming subservient and becoming enslaved by having to do everything according to Krishna's dictation. And we're thinking that there's a very demeaning position to be in, only because we don't know Krishna. And when we hear of this servant, we think of the concept of surrender, we think of it as something like the example I oftentimes use is that we think of surrender as waving the white flag in the battlefield. That to surrender means to let the enemy come in and take charge, take control, and to subjugate us according to their particular ideology. Surrender. But that's not what Krishna is saying when he asks us to surrender to him, when he asks us to serve him. And in fact, Prahlad Maharaj used the example in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gives the example of service to Krishna. He says, just like when a woman decorates her face in the mirror. She says, when a woman decorates her face in the mirror, she doesn't have to decorate the reflection. It's automatically done. And Prahlad Maharaj has used that analogy is that when we actually render service to Krishna, we don't have to actually make the effort ourselves to become happy. Rendering service to Krishna, bhajaniya paramasukha matrasa sukhavam, to the degree that Krishna is pleased by our service, we get happiness. We get happiness. We get a spiritual satisfaction, not the temporary happiness of this world. It's the happiness and realization that comes when Krishna is pleased by doing something that's pleasing to him. That kind of happiness is not something that can be purchased with the greatest wealth, cannot be obtained by the greatest strength, it cannot be approached by the greatest intelligence. These things are in of themselves ineffective for obtaining that kind of happiness which Krishna is most inclined to give to those who only have a sincere desire to please him. And what is Krishna ready to give in exchange? So this is where we really confuse when we hear servant means enslavement. When you surrender to the enemy, you become enslaved to their ideology. But when you surrender to Krishna, his ideology is that he exists only because he wants to give pleasure to those who love him. That's his ideology. He's not interested in any of the temporary pleasures that we wish to offer him in this world. He's not interested in our wealth. He's not interested in our beauty. He's not interested in our strength. He's not interested in our intellect. He's not interested in any of these things. These things doesn't capture his attention. Why? Because he already has the most wealth, he already has the most beauty, he already has the most strength, he's the most powerful, the most intelligent, the most renounced. Why would he at least be interested in whatever paltry offering we could make to him in the form of our intellectual abilities or our wealth? What he says is, if you offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water with love and devotion, this is what attracts me. So Krishna, when he's asking for surrender and service, he simply wants the attitude, the love. What is it that we have in our heart? What's our intent? What's our purpose? What do we want? When Prahlad Maharaj, using Prahlad Maharaj as an example again, when Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction by Lord Nrisimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj's response to Lord Nrisimhadev's request to accept the benediction was, wait a minute, I was born in a family of demons. Why are you trying tempt me in this way? Don't you know what, by offering me something, I don't want anything. Do you think I'm a merchant? Do you think that I want to be a merchant? I engage in a mercantile relationship with you, and I want to do something for you so that you do something for me? He said, don't tempt me with such offerings by offering me a benediction. He said, my only wish is that you simply be my master and let me be your servant, birth after birth after birth.
This was Balan Maharaj's mentality. He didn't want to be a merchant. He didn't want to do something for the Lord with the purpose of getting something in return from him. Except the only thing what he wanted was, let me serve you. Why? Because this is our constitutional nature. This is what gives the self satisfaction. Savai pungsam paro damo yato bhaktir adhoksajin. Ahaitu kya patiyata yayatma supersidati. When the sages of Naimisharanya gathered to hear Sutta Goswami, they asked him, what is the most meaningful occupation in this world? And the Sutta Goswami, the supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which man can achieve the loving devotional service of the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to satisfy the self. This is what gives self satisfaction. We can get temporary satisfaction, temporary relief, which unfortunately is very tempting in this world. And we all, I know I do also sometimes when you're really sick, mind is merely thinking how to get relief. And then because Krishna says dukkhaya mashashvatam, because his places are full of miseries and miseries keep on coming, then there's all opportunities to think about how to get relief. But spiritual life actually provides us a method of achieving happiness which is beyond relief. There's more to life than relief. And Krishna wants us to know what that real happiness is, not just the temporary happiness that much comes from relief from distress. This is not real happiness. One may get temporary relief, but then what happens after this temporary relief? Then there's distress. Because that's the nature of this world. Temporary relief lasts for some time and then there's distress. Happiness? What's satisfying to the self? This is a mystery and cannot be understood simply by mental prowess, cannot be understood simply by intellectual discrimination, but it can only be understood by devotional service. And Krishna says, Bhakti Mambo Janati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvata. If you want to know me, you want to enter into the mysteries of understanding me, you want to know a little bit how I work, what's my ideology, what I'm very eager to do in relationship with you and all living beings, then the best way to know, try it. Do something for me. Just do something for me. Don't come in with, I'll do it for you. As long as, just unfortunately, this is not bhakti. I mean, there's something else. We can talk about what that is. But actually, this is, Bhagavad Gita is a treatise on bhakti. And Krishna, throughout Bhagavad Gita, is giving us the understanding, ultimately, what is the ultimate conclusion of teachings of Bhagavad Gita. It's manmana bhava madbhakto, manmana bhava madbhakto, madgaji mannamaskuru. So by bhaktis, what do they do? They always think of me, they worship me, they offer their obeisances to me, and what is the result at the end? Krishna says, they come back to me. I take them back because of their devotion. And in so many ways, Krishna explains throughout his teachings to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra that the best method of sacrifice is to sacrifice for Krishna's pleasure. That's the ultimate sacrifice. And there's never any loss. Nihabakama nashashtu pachavaya namichate svalpamapyasya dhamasya trayate mahatovayat. Krishna says in this endeavor, there's never any loss and never any diminution. And a little advancement on this path protects one from the most dangerous type of fear. Also, this talked about here in this verse, fear and fearlessness. A little advancement in this path protects one from the most dangerous type of fear. This is bhakta. A bhakta, he becomes fearless. Bhajuhure manashi nada nada na abhaya charanaravindure. Right? was Govinda Das says in his prayers, that my dear mind, please meditate on the device of Ananda Maharaj, but because by meditation upon him, one becomes fearless in this world. So, intelligence means to be able to discriminate that Krishna is supreme and I'm his servant. Now, we read something very interesting. I said it wasn't just big luck, didn't I? What's the schedule? Yeah, because you're the one that usually.
Normally it's five, but you can go on.
Okay. Now, as we were reading before, I'm not reading much of this purport. Prabhupada was saying he must be the cause, Krishna must be the cause of all good qualification and bad qualification also. Whatever we see in this material world, we consider this is bad and this is good. We have divided that according to our calculation. Right? What is good and what is bad? There's a verse, actually it's spoken by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami. He says, Dvaiti Madhura Bhadrayan Sabha Manudama E Bala E Manes Sabha Brahma. Dvaiti Madhura Bhadrayan. He says, in this world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculation. Therefore, to say, this is good, this is bad, is all a mistake. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. He's speaking Sanatana Goswami. And he was explaining that whenever we see anything in terms of material world, as we explained before, we gave the analogy, when you're facing the sun, everything is bright. When you turn away from the sun, you see darkness because it's behind you. The same way, when we're Krishna conscious, we see ultimately everything is good. On the transcendental platform, ultimately everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, and on the transcendental platform, one who is in transcendental consciousness, he becomes fully satisfied by seeing everything in connection to Krishna. That is his source of satisfaction, remembering Krishna. As long as I can remember Krishna, a devotee feels I'm happy. If I forget Krishna, that is bad. That is bad. But what is good? As long as it's Krishna consciousness, transcendental, that is good. So, Dvaitve Bhadra Bhadra Gyan Sabha Bhano Dhamma. It's interesting that Lord Chaitanya uses the word manodhamma. When he talks about good and bad, the mental speculative manodhamma, dhamma means religion, and mano is the mind. So he describes it as the religion of the mind, manodhamma. The religion of the mind is to think, this is good, and this is bad. What's good? It's good if it makes me happy. What's bad is if it makes me suffering. Makes me unhappy. This is manodhamma. This is good if it makes others happy, then it's bad if it makes others unhappy. But we already described there's different types of happiness. We quoted the verse Tasyaga Heto Prayate Tikovido Nalabhiti Yad Brahmatam Upayada. There's a happiness derived from sense enjoyment. And there's a happiness derived from Krishna's pleasure. Two different types of happiness. So, when we think in terms of sense enjoyment, then automatically thinking in that way, we have to live in duality. Good and bad. This is good, it makes me happy. Oh! This is bad. It's going to cause me suffering. But when one sees everything in relationship with Krishna, the devotee, his happiness is seeing its purpose in connection to Krishna. And therefore, we see even in examples of devotees, we read throughout this in the examples of the scriptures, of devotees who are willing to undergo all kinds of personal inconvenience for the pleasure of the Lord. And accepting that personal inconvenience was their happiness. we oftentimes tell, give the example of the gopis. The gopis in Vrindavan, they love Krishna. They're ready to do anything for Krishna. They only think of Krishna's pleasure. Then Prabhupada tells a story of how once Krishna had a headache. And Narada Muni understood that Krishna had a headache, and he asked Krishna, Krishna, what do you want? He approached Krishna. Krishna says, I have a headache. Please, the only thing that relieved my headache is I need the dust from my devotees, from their feet. And Narada Muni, he understood that he had to go to the devotee. Of course, this is a pastime, the Lord's headache. It's a best help us to understand the Lord's purpose. But Narada Muni went to different devotees, and when he approached different devotees, the devotees were thinking, the dust from my feet on the head of the Lord? I'll go to hell. How could I do that? I can't. From one devotee to the next, he went, dust? No, like, head of the Lord? No. But when Narada Muni went to the gopis said, oh, the Lord has a headache, he needs dust. Think. They don't think. They don't think of whatever, they don't think of their consequences. They're ready to do anything. They're ready to go to hell for the pleasure, because that's their happiness. And then there's a verse in the Bhagavatam. Narayana paraksave nakutashinya bibhati svagapavaga narakeshu yakitaya tadashana. This was spoken by Lord Shiva to Parvati. Parvati was very bewildered. Parvati had cursed King Chitraketu to take birth as a demon, because King Chitraketu thought disparagingly about Lord Shiva when he was sitting in an assembly of sages, and Parvati was on his lap, and King Chitraketu was flying in his airplane and was thinking, this is not very auspicious for an ascetic to be sitting with his wife in the back in front of all these sages. And when Parvati, who could hear, who understood that Chitraketu was thinking in this way, heard him say this, she was very enraged. How can you say such a thing about my husband, Lord Shiva? He is the greatest Vaishnava. He's the most greatest renunciant. There's no question of something wrong in his acts. And she cursed. She cursed. She said, for this, what you have done, you should take birth in your next life as a demon. And then when Chitraketu Maharaj learned of the curse, Chitraketu Maharaj descended from his airplane, flowered airplane, and came before Parvati and said to Parvati, oh, you've cursed me to become a demon. Thank you. I'm willing to accept whatever you wish to offer me. I deserve. And he just willingly embraced it. And most people might come and say, well, you didn't, look, I didn't, you know, I didn't mean it. It was temporary delirious. Temporary delirious. It was a moment of insanity, you know, pleading insanity. But no, Chitraketu Maharaj came before Parvati and said, I can willingly accept a curse. I feel very fortunate to have been cursed in this way and punished in this way for these thoughts. And then he left and went back to his flower airplane, and Parvati turned to Lord Shiva and said, what is this? I just cursed him to become a demon. And Lord Shiva, you don't understand the Vaishnava. Narayana paraksave nakutashtanya bhivati svagapavaga narakeshtuya patarashtarshana. Is that devotees do not fear any condition of life, whether they are in heaven, whether they are in hell, whether they are liberated. For them it's all the same, because the only concern is one thing. How can I serve Krishna? That's it. That's their happiness. That's their happiness. If they can remember Krishna and always remember him and serve him, that becomes their source of pleasure. Therefore, even in the most difficult situations, we see many different examples of devotees are willing to undergo even the greatest inconvenience for the pleasure of the Lord. And the Lord becomes so pleased by them that he becomes bound in a loving relationship that he cannot forget. He cannot forget their love. In Chaitanya Bhagavata, there's a whole story of Shiva's Pandit, whose son departed. He left this world in the presence of Lord Chaitanya when they were having kirtan in his home. His son left his body. But then he was looking, he didn't know what, at the time what had happened, but he saw some of the members of the family, and they were looking a little bit distressed, distraught. And he approached them, what's going on? And they went into the other room and he said, your son left this world. And Shivas Pandit was thinking, why are you distressed like this? Don't you know that Lord Chaitanya is ecstasy? He's in ecstasy, he's relishing kirtan. We should be thinking only of his pleasure. You should hide these thoughts, hide them from the Lord. Go back in the kirtan and don't let him know what's actually taking place. He wasn't even thinking of the loss of his own son. He was thinking of the Lord's pleasure. And then they went back into the kirtan, they continued the kirtan for 7 more hours. And then at one point, Lord Chaitanya, who was like the super soul in the heart of all living beings, he said, although Srivas Pandit told everybody to keep it in your heart, you still can't hide it in your heart from away from the Lord. Because the super soul, he knows what was going on in the heart. And gradually he said, what's going on? What's happening here? And then they revealed, oh, Srivas Pandit's son, he left it. He asked us to not reveal this to you. He didn't want to disturb your ecstasy at the kirtan. And then Lord Chaitanya, then he went into the other room where the son had departed. And he began speaking to the son, who entered back into the body. And began the son began speaking, and Lord Chaitanya said, why have you left? And the son was speaking, saying, oh Lord, I've come here, I have had great fortune to see you in this life. Now I've seen you, I've heard you, I've had the opportunity to serve you, but actually I am nobody's son, nobody is my parent, I'm an eternal soul, and I know I have a next destination to go on. And the son was speaking, all these words were coming out of his mouth in the presence of all the family members. And as all the family members were hearing the words coming from the son's mouth, they were all becoming completely enlightened and inspired as to the eternality of the soul. And the living entity's constitutional nature is an eternal servant of Krishna. And all their distress went away. The Lord relieved all their distress as the son was speaking. And the son said, and finally he said, now I beg you, please give me permission to let me depart. And then he was gone. And then Lord Chaitanya turned to Srivas Thakur and understood. And Srivas Thakur said, how can I ever leave anybody who doesn't even know the death of his own son for my pleasure? He said, from this day on, I and Nityananda will both become your sons. In other words, the Lord leaves nothing. There's no loss. There's no loss in thinking of the Lord's pleasure. He's ready to reciprocate fully and give everything. But these are examples given in the Shastra to help us to understand that our best course, our best action in life is to learn how to give for Krishna, to give to Krishna. And the reciprocation that Krishna will give in return is thousandfold beyond whatever temporary pleasures that we may be able to get in this world. And the best method of awakening the pleasure of the Lord is begin simply by hearing about Him. That's how it begins. The Lord is pleased by those who simply develop the desire to hear about Him and to know more about Him. Because the more we know about Him, the more we'll be able to understand that service to Him and surrendering to Him is never in any way any loss to us. There's never any question of any loss to us. There's only gain. We may, in a deluded state, think, I lose my individuality. I lose my identity. I lose my own personal needs. But the Lord is ready to give much more than we can possibly obtain by our efforts alone. That is Krishna consciousness. And that is essentially what these different processes of knowledge, are qualities of the living beings which are described in this verse, are meant to help us to understand, to see everything connected to Krishna. I'll read a little bit more just from the purport because I only read one paragraph. And this. Asamoha, freedom from doubt and delusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution. Again, freedom from doubt and delusion means when we hear such things about those things that we talked about tonight, well, if we want to become freed from doubt and delusion, we have to tie it ourselves. Prabhupada always used to encourage us, okay, you want? Try it. Taste. Honey looks... If I tell you honey is very sweet, you may look at it and say, it looks like motor oil. But how do you know it's going sweet? Not just by looking at it. You have to take the lid off and taste yourself. You want to taste what Krishna has to offer in reciprocation for service, then we have to serve in this way. Think of Krishna's pleasure and do something for Krishna. Tell others about Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Try to remember Krishna. These are all different ways in which Krishna becomes pleased. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Dasam, Sakyam, Atmanam, Vedanam. There are 9 different processes for rendering service to the Lord, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering about the Lord. So freedom from doubt and delusion can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly, everything should be accepted with care and with caution. Kshama, tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Satyam, truthfulness, means that facts should be presented as they are and for the benefits of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others, but that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way so that others will understand actually what the facts are. That's a little bit, I wanted to read a little bit more of the purport about intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, and this control of the senses, control of the mind. I keep my commitment to end at the required time. So thank you very much for your attention. Does anybody have any questions or comments? A short one. Okay. If it's short.
About control of the mind.
Well, we didn't even talk about that yet.
But when it goes up and down for no reason, how to not? It is.
Constantly practice and detachment. That's what Krishna says. When Arjuna asked the same question, senses are very difficult to control. Krishna says, practice bringing it back. Practice. When the mind is going someplace, and you've understood, hey, it went someplace, then at least you have the ability to discriminate with your intelligence. Because intelligence, Krishna says, is superior to the mind. He gives the example, like the intelligence are like the reins, the mind is like the reins, intelligence is the driver, and the senses are like the horses, right? So the senses require to be controlled by the mind, and the mind needs a good driver, which is the intelligence. The intelligence is meant to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. So as soon as your intelligence is discriminating, you say, hey, my mind just went someplace over there, and it should be someplace else. Because you have your intelligence and the superior to the mind, with your intelligence you can say, okay, mind, come back. Come back. If you don't practice it, it won't come back. Right? It's the same thing. Like if you have no restraint whatsoever, if you impose no restraint or restriction on the wild horses, you just take the reins off and let them go, you're in for the spirit soul is the passenger on that chariot, and you're in for a very disastrous ride. You let 6 wild horses just go in whatever direction they want without a driver, no intelligence, no driver, no mind, no reins. Very, very. But the intelligence is supposed to say, okay, mind, you don't belong there, you belong here. I should be saying something about Krishna. I should remember Krishna. Should be thinking about him. Practice. And detachment. Detachment means, okay, even if it's difficult and I'm struggling, at least I'm detached enough to know it's the right thing to do. And therefore, I'll do it. I'm detached. And if we do it in practice and detachment, then Krishna says he'll help. So that's what to do. That much you can do. The rest is up to Krishna. That much you have to do for him. Listen, God helps those who help themselves. That much you have to do. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. God bless you so much. Thank you.